Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association, filling in for Sam. And today we have the Nevada State Controller, Kim Wallen. We're going to be talking taxes, debt collection, and IT, plus our Power Pundit panel with Fred Locken, Robert Eichthoven, and Liz McMiniman next on Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Look who benefits from Nevada mining, because mining creates more than 50,000 jobs. Mining contributes more than $300 million in annual tax revenue, with more than 61% going to the state to fund our schools and senior programs. And mining invests right here, where you live, work, and go to school, paying more taxes per employee than any other industry in the state. In good times and hard times, mining is working for Nevada families, working for you. Visit our website and learn more.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI Water and Sewer Companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. We are here with the State Controller for Nevada, Kim Wallen. So, Kim, just so people get an understanding of what you do, they hear controller and they think, oh, it has something to do with money. So let's just remind our viewers out there what the duties are of the controller.
Certainly. Hey, by the way, it's great to be here today. I appreciate that. The State Controller is the Chief Fiscal Officer of the state, the CFO. We settle all claims made against the state. We oversee the annual audit. We prepare the annual financial statement. We prepare the report to our citizens. And we also are responsible for collecting all debts owed to the state. And we're also responsible for looking for waste and inefficiency, which, of course, in government, there's a lot of room for improvement there.
And we have made some improvements. I know you have been very studious in making sure that we have the right laws and you have the right oversight to go in and identify some of that waste and make the system more transparent and make people more accountable.
Yes, we have been doing that in the debt collection area. When I came in, even though the controller was responsible for collecting debts owed to the state, it was voluntary for the agency to turn the debts over to the state. So we're only collecting like a 4% amount of debt when I came in. And we had gotten up to 28% 2 years ago. We're down to 19% because in the infinite wisdom of the last session, they got rid of my assistant controller who oversaw debt collection. So we probably lost about $2.7 million.
So how much money is owed to the state of Nevada? I mean, how much debt is floating out there? I mean, and what is it? Is it like 30 days, 60 days, 90 days? I mean, what are you looking at?
Well, the debt that's in my office, we're now up to $100 million. When I came in, because it was voluntary, we only had about $10 million of debt in my office. But of that $100 million, roughly 47% is 2 years and younger, and the balance is over 2 years. So about 50-50 of fairly young, fairly old.
So there's about $50 million out there of debt. Now, after 2 years, I mean, is that pretty much uncollectible?
It pretty much is. It pretty much is. And we've got some debt out there that's over 5 years old out there.
So what do you do? I mean, the government just here write it off? I mean, you're really not filing, you know, a tax return where you can...
No. No, well, one of the things that one of the laws that I'm asking for to do this next session, or right this session, is to allow us to sell that debt, that old debt that's over 4 years old, kind of sell it in bulk. You'll sell it for pennies on the dollar, but if we've got $50 million and you sell it for 5-10 cents on the dollar, well, that's still some money to the state.
Now, the local governments have been able to do that, I know, for business licenses. Why hasn't the state been allowed to do that?
To sell the debt?
Yes.
Well, we've always been able to sell the debt, but I need to change the law so that way if I sell it, it goes into the debt recovery fund instead of saying, all right, this much goes to DMV, this much goes here.
Okay, so what happens now is it goes back to the agency that money is owed to.
Right.
Okay.
If it's general fund money, then it goes into my debt recovery account.
Okay, so let's talk about revenue, because that is something that, you know, is the mm-hmm. chief fiscal officer of the state of Nevada that I know you're very cognizant of, and I know that former Senate Majority Leader and now current Congressman Stephen Horsford appointed you to a committee to look at different revenue sources, and we have some things on the table now. We're looking at a margins tax mm-hmm. in the state of Nevada, corporate income tax, and I think that was something that Senator Horsford was trying to drive you towards.
Well, yes. Back when Senator Horsford was around, they were looking at going to a corporate tax. And I, being a CPA from private practice and helping my clients to go and market their products and pay for their products and make a profit, we would always go and say, what are all of your expenses? Well, if they had a corporate tax, we had to factor in that corporate tax as part of the cost of that product. And when I was talking to, I think it was Dick Cooper, and I said, well, but a corporate tax is just passed on to us as taxpayers, as consumers, and it's a hidden tax, and I'd rather have one that I can see. And their logic was, well, if you go to California, the price of address in California is the same price here. Well, they just make more money in Nevada. It's factored in. You pass it on. I'd much rather see a broad-based business services tax that is taxed at the end user, not
something that's going to pyramid and layer.
Exactly, because like if I were doing work for a company, and if I charge that tax, well then they're going to be doing work for somebody else, and there can be another tax. So like if I were to be doing accounting work for a lawyer, then I charge them a tax, and then they, as a lawyer, charge a tax. So it multiplies. So it should be at the end user. And I think we could do this and at the same time lower our sales tax rate as well. So that then would help the ones that are at the lower income.
So looking at the margins tax, the legislature is going to be considering next week, and I think they have till March 15th. You know, that's, I guess, a pretty good day for them to have to pass this margins tax, the Ides of March. Do you think that is bad public policy, and should the legislature pass on that?
You know, again, the margins tax, it's going to be passed on down to us as consumers. All right, so if it's a 2% tax, we'll probably end up paying as consumers, we'll probably pay 3%, right? And here's what I've seen of it, because it was written by policymakers, not by tax.
Well, I don't know if you call the teachers union policymakers.
Well,
I
mean, but, you know, but it wasn't written by accountants, right? And if you look at the margins tax, you could have a company making a $10 million gross revenue and be showing a net loss, and they would be paying that margins tax.
All right, we heard it from our state controller. Margins tax, a bad idea. Did you hear that, legislators? We're going to be right back with State Controller Kim Wallen.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
When it comes to state-of-the-art energy, Nevada is the right state to be in. A reliable, efficient network. Cleaner energy resources, like solar, wind, and geothermal. And technology that will help you save energy and money at home. Learn more at nvenergy.com. Energy.com.
Hey, you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Why are you still sitting on that couch? You know you could be out there cooking for a living. You speak food. That's why you got to call Le Cordon Bleu. They'll help get you out there with training in less time than you think. Sounds good, right? So grab your phone right now and call Le Cordon Bleu. They'll send you a complimentary career guide so you can see what it's really like to work in the culinary arts.
Call 800-817-5790 or text GOLCB68 to 94576. Call or text now.
Did you call yet?
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the summit on South Virginia.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. We are continuing our interview with State Controller Kim Wallen. Now, we just talked about the margins tax and about debt collection, all that fun stuff. One of the things we're hearing at the legislative session is we need money to upgrade our IT systems. What would that mean for you and for being able to collect all the money in the state of Nevada?
Well, we're actually starting to do that. We just I just testified for the state IT group in their budget hearing to do a benchmarking study where we would benchmark ourselves against our peers in IT, human resources, procurement, and finance. And that's the first step in replacing our old legacy ancient accounting system that was old when we got it in 1999.
Charles Babbage, I think he wrote the code, right?
Yeah, I think it's written in COBOL, so it's really old. And so we're just in the start of doing that, and a lot of other states are replacing their statewide accounting system, going into a new ERP system, so everything is integrated and related, and you can automate more processes. To do that, we're looking at probably $100 million. But it's going to be about a six-year process before we're even to that point with what we have to do to get there. In fact, that benchmarking study that I was mentioning, the states that have gone through it, what they have found is that states, because they're not automated, have 46% more employees in the finance function than in corporate America. And of those 46% more, 61% are doing transaction processing, meaning like handling checks and writing checks, because it's not automated, because they don't have the systems.
I mean, that seems like just a no-brainer. And I mean, $100 million when you're talking about, you know, cutting or, you know, focusing on some other areas that we need to focus on.
When I testified the other day, the cost savings for us, if we were to go and do this and become world-class, okay, automate everything and become more efficient in all those different areas, we could save $76.5 million a year.
That seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Kim, back to 2006 when you were elected, and for some of those ensuing years, it seemed like there was a lot of fights going on with our constitutional officers. You know, the governor, the treasurer, lieutenant governor. Things have seemed to calm down quite a bit. I mean, do you feel a difference?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I did have fights with the governor when Governor Gibbons was in there.
I think you were told you could lick a stamp.
I was the state stamp licker. But it's really hard to lick those non-sticks, those stick-on stamps. They just don't stick then. But it's really calmed down. I don't see the sense of fighting anymore. I have to tell you, it's easier to get in to see Governor Sandoval now if I need to talk to him about something, whereas before, to get in to see Governor Gibbons, you just couldn't get in there. And so it's really changed.
And how about the legislative leaders? I mean, we're hearing that from lobbyists, from other legislators, that there seems to be a lot more dialogue with our legislative leadership than there was last session.
Well, I mean, I see a difference myself. Getting in to Senator Dennis has been very easy. Getting in to see Speaker
Kirkpatrick,
yes, it's been very easy getting in to see her as well. And I have to tell you, I've been going around talking to all the money committee members and government affairs committee members to talk about my bills and my budget. And some of them have gotten, we've called and said, can I come in to speak to you? And they go, can we have a half hour of your time? And some have come in, I've been there with them for an hour. And so they want to learn, they want to know more. So it's been good. And a lot of them have said, this is great that you came over to see me. I would have come over to see you. And so I think that it's for the better, even though we've got a lot of new ones, but they want to learn. They want to have a dialogue instead of do things just based on their own personal opinions.
All right. Well, so, I think that's
so
happy
that's
news.
To me, that's refreshing.
Happy news really for all of us here in Nevada. Mm-hmm. Now, you just were named by, what'd you call it, the Citizen-Centric Report?
Yeah, a Governing Magazine just wrote an article, it came out this week, in fact, and in it, they were talking about reporting to our citizens and transparency. And our state, we produce a report. It's a 4-page report about our, it's a snapshot of our finances, and it's written for citizens. The name's called Citizen-Centric. I guess it's because Citizen-Centric, it's geared towards citizens in a language that they can understand, talks about things they might be interested in. And our state was named as one of the best in that citizen-centric reporting. And they made another comment on there, because on the 4th page of our citizen-centric report, we talk about our intergovernmental dependency on the federal government, and with sequestration looming tomorrow, it kind of shows where we get some of our major funding sources from the federal government, so people have a better understanding. And they said in there, they said, the Controller Wallen doesn't sugarcoat it at all. She doesn't think the citizens should have it sugarcoated, and I don't. In there, it also talks about how our revenues are still down.
The economy's still.
Yeah, our sales taxes are still down 15.8% since pre-recession. Gaming taxes are still down 14%.
Now, really quick, I want to get this out there, and we just have a small amount of time. Your plans in 2014, are you going to run for state treasurer?
I'm leaning to that. I'm probably not. I'm 90% there at this point in time, because if we do get that new ERP system, I want to be there to make sure we do it right.
All right. We're going to be back with our Power Pundit panel on Nevada Newsmakers. Thank you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Some law firms think using funny gimmicks and slogans is the best way to get your attention. But there's nothing funny about being seriously injured in an accident. You need a serious, experienced, and aggressive law firm.
We're Galloway & Jensen, a respected law firm with the skills and dedication to get you the compensation you deserve.
Lawyers who will fight for you.
For your free consultation, call Galloway & Jensen today. The insurance companies have lawyers. You should, too.
At Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, we know you need health insurance that covers your family as they grow.
Sorry, Dad.
Oh, good.
And if you don't get health insurance through work...
Are you okay?
Yeah. Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield offers coverage your family can count on.
Whoa, slow down, Chief.
Especially parents. Whether you need basic coverage for yourself or more protection for your family, Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield offers a variety of coverage options for different needs and budgets. If you're self-employed, retiring early, or can't get health coverage at work, call Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield today for a free quote. Call 1-800-868-0714 or visit anthemforhealth.com to compare plans and apply.
Get that number?
I wrote it down.
Affordable coverage from a name you can trust. Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome back to our Power Pundit panel. We're here with Professor Fred Locken, Liz McMiniman with the Retail Association of Nevada, and Robert Eitoven with Colstar Latham, J3 Strategies, both together.
Both, yeah.
All right. So, next week, March 5th, the Democrats are going to hold a hearing on the margins tax. Fred, I know you're a big fan of this idea, right?
No.
No, I actually agree with the controller and her statements that, you know, if we're going to logically look at new revenue sources, then we have to be logical about it and think of the consequences of each of the tax options. There are better options than the margins tax, and so I'm kind of hoping there'll be some common sense in the discussion.
Liz?
And, Paul, as you know, our poll that the Retail Association did recently talked about how if the tax the people who actually pay the taxes, the consumer, if they actually understood how this margin tax will impact them, they would think it's a bad idea. So all along, the margin tax is something that's it started conversation. I don't think the teachers union put any thought to this. They threw something against the wall to see if it sticks.
You know, Robert, it's great to hear a controller or speaker, absolutely, Marilyn Kirkpatrick, you know, some folks who, you know, are, you know, the Democratic Party and the teachers union are pretty much in lockstep on a lot of issues, but it's nice to hear them say, look, this is bad public policy. This is bad for the state of Nevada. We need to do something where you don't cause this layering effect that's going to increase prices and hurt Nevada businesses.
I agree, and I think also really from the speaker's perspective, and with the legislature right now, having the margins tax loom over this session is really problematic for people who want to talk about tax reform. Mm-hmm. Because how do you get into a serious discussion about changing Nevada's tax code if there is going to be a change? Unlikely. But even more unlikely now, I think, because if you try to make some changes and reform our tax code and either create some different kind of broad-based business tax other than the MBT, the modified business tax, or you come up with a sales tax on services, it's going to be difficult for some legislators to pass that, knowing that voters may in turn, you know, come around in 2014 and pass a margins tax. Well, that's on the ballot as well.
What do you think of what Robert said? You know, having the margins tax hangover makes tax reform in this state much less likely.
Well, I agree. Accomplishing anything in the 120-day session, we really needed to get some decent data on the table.
Are you saying you don't like 120 days? I mean, hey, I think it should be 60.
And I think it should be 300. But we, under the circumstances, need to recognize that we haven't really changed the structure in more than 50 years. It is reprehensible. The state has changed so dramatically. We've learned in this recession that we don't have reliable sources of income to keep the basic services going. So the discussion has to occur, and I think what can happen this session is that we finally agree we can't kick the can down the road.
Well, Fred, I'm going to have to tell you that I think that we're talking about Nevada and saying during this recession we're finding we have an unstable tax base. I looked across the 50 states, and during this whole time, there's nobody who had a stable tax base. So where do we go to get a stable tax base? I think during hard times, you find that this happens.
Yeah, there's not a tax that does well when the economy takes a nosedive. Isn't that true?
But there are clearly states that avoided this recession, and they did so by diversifying that economy and coming up with a multiplicity of strategies of revenue coming in. We are so codependent on gaming and sales tax, we refuse to tax mining when it's in its greatest time of prosperity.
I mean, we do tax mining. Mining is taxed
to the least of anywhere in the world.
But there is a tax on mining.
Well, gaming is the same way, and I don't advocate for gaming taxes increases.
A lot of the states have weathered the recession are energy-producing states. Right. We have a problem there. The development of green energy is costly, and it's taking a lot longer for it to come to market. But I think there's a point. Our tax code, as it exists today, provided significant sums of revenue for about 20 of the last 25 years.
I mean,
I know that sales tax is a problem because so much of what you used to get sales on, books or anything, has gone digital. And you can buy a lot of these things online. You download it to your iTunes account. Okay. So a lot of the things that we used to be able to tack a sales tax onto, you don't do anymore because you can just download it on your iPad.
I mean, Fred, isn't Robert right? After we passed the modified business tax in 2003, the next session we gave $300 million back to folks because it did overproduce. It generated, you know, more revenue than we could spend.
It's a prosperity-only tax structure, though. We, in essence, have to account for times like these. And even in the best of times, I mean, those were political decisions. Yeah. We easily could have directed that money to mental health. We could have addressed any number of latent problems problems that exist in this state. But we're more apt to spend it on prisons than we are on our K through 12
or higher ed. Oh, come on, that's not true. I mean, Liz, you look at our K through 12 system. I mean, doesn't that take up more than any part of our budget?
It's a huge
chunk. I mean, come on, Fred, you know that.
Yeah, but you're assuming percentage means it's enough. That doesn't mean that at all.
Okay, but here's my question to
you. But even when we gave back $300 million, we grew, the state budget grew 17%.
Right.
That's significant. And on top of that, we gave now, we can argue. I don't know if it was the right idea to give that $300 million back, maybe into a rainy day fund. Hindsight's 2020. Highway fund. controller's office. But, you know, I'll tell you, there was a significant increase in government growth on top of a $300 million rebate in 2005, which was one session after we had the 2003 tax debate of gross receipts and so forth.
You know, Fred, the Democrats came up with a number this week. They said $310 million. That's what we need for education. And, you know, you ask Lynn Warney, you ask people from the teachers' unions, and I said this the last time I was on the show. Lynn Warney says there's never going to be enough money. Right. It's just filling a hole. Do you think that's really true? We're never going to be able to fund education to the point where you're going to have kids who are doing better? Really, that's a problem you have to fix at home?
Well, investing in the future is going to cost money. And the specific reality of Nevada is that we have a set of challenges that many other states don't have to the percentage that we have it. And so it's going to take more money. A third of our population is transplanted from other cultures. We have significant challenges in the state that are going to take some money to address.
All right, Fred, you have the last word. We're going to be back on Nevada Newsmakers.
Every day I help people hurt in accidents. Do you know the compensation you're entitled to right now and in the future? Do you need my help?
Go lightly in Vanna. 222-3333.
Not too long ago, this was considered state-of-the-art rug cleaning. Today, this is the state-of-the-art, and the only one to offer it in Northern Nevada is the Carpet Tender. Thanks to an incredibly powerful vacuum and dusting system, the amount of dirt removed by this system before actual washing begins is amazing. Nothing comes close to the Carpet Tender Rug Washing Plant for unbeatable washing of all your area rugs, including Orientals, Navajos, and other heirloom rugs. Call the Carpet Tender. Remember, it's the Carpet Tender, or something less.
If you have been diagnosed with lung cancer, you may be entitled to compensation. Even with a history of smoking, you may still qualify. Asbestos trusts have been established, and billions of dollars have been paid to people with lung cancer or mesothelioma. To learn more, contact us now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-950-MESO. For nearly two decades, we've been fighting for people with lung cancer and mesothelioma. Call us at 1-800-950-MESO. Lung cancer and mesothelioma. Don't fight it alone.
The time is right to buy new furniture for every room in your home.
And to celebrate this weekend, we're giving you an extra year to finance your purchase.
Instead of getting interest-free financing until 2017.
More gives you an extra year. 0% financing until 2018, and that's with nothing down.
Living rooms, dining rooms, bedrooms, and more with an extra year of absolutely free financing until 2018.
The time is right for new furniture, and you'll get it for less this weekend at More Furniture for Less.
Accidents, motorcycle accidents, injured in an accident.
Do insurance companies stack the deck against you with high-powered attorneys and expert witnesses? Yes, they do.
Go lightly in Vanna. 222-3333.
Thank you for watching. Next week, we have Robert Eichhoven, Mary Lau, Annette Whittemore, and economist Robert Barone. Thank you for watching and listening.